You are the most important advocate for your own health. Not your doctor, not a wellness app, not a podcast. You. And the most powerful thing you can do today isn't a dramatic overhaul. It's simply paying a little more attention with a little more kindness to what your body is actually telling you. Let's start with something that might feel uncomfortably familiar. Imagine having a genuinely full, productive, meaningful day and still going to bed feeling like you didn't do enough, like you fell short, like tomorrow you'll have to make up for it. There's actually a name for this pattern. Author Oliver Berkman calls it productivity dysmorphia. Just like body dysmorphia can distort how someone sees their physical appearance, making them unable to recognize how they actually look, productivity dysmorphia distorts how you perceive your own output. It makes real accomplishment invisible to you. The podcast host and author Chris Williamson opened up about this recently, and what struck me about his honesty was the setting. He was in the middle of a sold-out live tour across Australia, New Zealand, and Bali, performing to full rooms night after night, and still struggling to feel present or satisfied. If that resonates with you even a little, you're not alone. And here's why this matters for your physical health, not just your mood. When your brain is stuck in a loop of chronic inadequacy, when it can't mentally switch off, your body responds with elevated cortisol. Think of cortisol as your body's emergency alert hormone. In small doses, it's helpful. It gets you moving in the morning, sharpens your focus under pressure. But when that alarm stays on for weeks and months at a time, it starts wearing things down. Sleep quality suffers. Digestion slows. Your immune system gets less resilient. Your cardiovascular system works harder than it needs to. Williamson offered a reframe that I think is genuinely worth sitting with. He said, and I love this, we always talk about building up a good work ethic. No one ever talks about building a good rest ethic. And you need a good rest ethic. Not collapsing on the couch out of exhaustion. Intentional protected recovery. Rest is a skill you practice, not a reward you earn. This connects beautifully to something Jordan Peterson explored in a recent conversation about the nature of progress. He described it as geometric rather than linear. Small steps don't just add up, they multiply. He shared his own experience beginning to exercise at age 23. Underweight, uncomfortable, feeling like the steps were almost embarrassingly small. 3.5 years later, the transformation was profound. The early steps felt minor. The direction was everything. Now let's talk about something that weaves through nearly every conversation in today's briefing, blood sugar. Specifically, what happens inside your body when refined sugar and processed carbohydrates are a regular part of your diet. And I want to translate this out of clinical language, because once you understand the basic picture, it changes how you see food entirely. Think of insulin as a key. Every time you eat carbohydrates or sugar, your body releases this key to unlock your cells and let glucose, your blood sugar, flow inside for energy. That system works beautifully when it's used occasionally, but when you're flooding your body with sugar and refined starches all day long, the cells start to get a bit tired of answering the door. They become less responsive. This is what doctors call insulin resistance, and according to a physician featured in one of today's Source discussions, it is the number one driver of elevated cholesterol in most people today. Yet it almost never comes up in standard cholesterol conversations. Here's how it connects to cholesterol in a way that surprised me. When your body has more carbohydrates and sugars than it can immediately use, it doesn't just let them sit there. It converts them into fat through a process that scientists literally call de novo lipogenesis, which translates to making new fat from scratch. That new fat can show up on your blood work as elevated triglycerides or LDL cholesterol. So for many people, high cholesterol isn't primarily a fat problem. It's a sugar and starch problem. The good news is, there's a simple test that can reveal this years before conventional blood sugar markers catch it. It's called a HOMA-IR score, and it's calculated from two standard lab values, a fasting insulin level and a fasting glucose level. If you're heading to your doctor for a routine checkup, it's worth asking, can we check my fasting insulin alongside my glucose? That one question could give you a much earlier window into your metabolic health. Dr. Eric Berg adds another layer to this picture that I find genuinely exciting. When you reduce sugar and refined starches, your insulin levels drop, and your body begins to shift its fuel source. It starts producing molecules called ketones. Think of them as a cleaner-burning alternative fuel, particularly for brain cells. And alongside that, a compound called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, becomes more active. Dr. Berg describes BDNF as essentially Miracle-Gro for the brain. It supports the regeneration and maintenance of brain cells. So what you eat isn't just affecting your waistline, it's affecting how your brain ages. A couple of doctors who visited Italy recently made an observation that puts all of this into lovely context. They noticed that Italians, even in food-loving culture, walk long distances as part of everyday life, shop for fresh single-ingredient foods daily, and eat noticeably smaller portions. No dramatic biohacking, no elimination diets. Just movement woven into daily life, real food, and moderation. That ecosystem approach, as they put it, seems to matter as much as any single nutrient. Speaking of individual nutrients, let's talk about three that are quietly working in the background for most of us, or more likely, aren't working as well as they could. According to Dr. Berg, modern soils and food processing have left many people chronically low in magnesium, vitamin D, and trace minerals like zinc and selenium. And the way these nutrients interact is something most supplement labels don't explain clearly. Magnesium is involved in hundreds of biochemical reactions in your body. It's like a master facilitator. And critically, it's required to activate vitamin D. Think of it this way. Vitamin D is like a light bulb, and magnesium is the electrical current. Without enough magnesium, even a high-dose vitamin D supplement can't do its job properly. Dr. Berg recommends magnesium glycinate, specifically not magnesium oxide, which is poorly absorbed, at around 600 milligrams per day as a maintenance dose. And then there's vitamin K2, which often gets overlooked entirely. When you take vitamin D3, it increases calcium absorption into your bloodstream, which sounds great, until you realize that calcium needs to be directed somewhere useful. Vitamin K2 acts like a traffic officer, steering that calcium toward your bones and teeth rather than letting it deposit in soft tissues. So if you're currently taking vitamin D3 on its own, it's worth asking your provider whether K2 and magnesium should be part of that conversation. Before we close today, I want to mention something that affects more people than you might expect: persistent throat clearing. That feeling of needing to constantly clear your throat, especially after meals or in the morning. Many people assume it's allergies or post-nasal drip, but Dr. Berg points to a frequently overlooked digestive cause called silent reflux, technically laryngopharyngeal reflux. Unlike classic acid reflux, it usually produces no chest burning. Instead, a digestive enzyme called pepsin travels upward from the stomach and irritates the area around your vocal cords, prompting your body to produce protective mucus, hence the urge to clear your throat. Here's the counterintuitive part. This is often caused by low stomach acid, not too much. Adequate stomach acidity is what keeps the valve at the top of your stomach properly closed. When acid levels are too low, that valve can become loose. And this is where stress comes back in. Your vagus nerve. Think of it as your body's rest and digest regulator. A long cable running from your brainstem down through your chest and abdomen controls that valve. Chronic stress suppresses vagus nerve activity, which impairs digestion and can contribute to reflux. Your stress levels and your gut health are telling the same story. They always have been. So here is your one simple, cost-free wellness step for today. Choose one block of time, even just 30 minutes, and protect it as a genuine rest window. Not scrolling, not catching up on messages, not mentally reviewing your to-do list. A walk without your phone, time with someone you enjoy, cooking something real, music, anything that pulls you fully into the present moment. Start building that rest ethic. Your nervous system has been waiting for permission. And as always, if any of what we discussed today raises questions for you, please bring them to your doctor or a qualified healthcare provider. This briefing is educational, not medical advice, and you deserve personalized guidance from someone who knows your full picture. That's your COR Daily Wellness Briefing for today. Thank you so much for spending this time with your health. It genuinely matters. Come back tomorrow for another gentle, grounded look at what's possible. You've got this. Take care of yourself.